Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea. I forgot mine. It's sitting over there by the coffee pot. And sit back and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above. I got to show you my new toy because I realize that I don't drink enough water, mostly because I do so much talking. I bought this new keg sort of thing to remind me to drink a gallon of water a day. Look at what it says. Good morning. Hydrate yourself. Remember your goal. Keep chugging. Feeling awesome. Don't give up. Almost done. And you did it. Almost finished. And you did it. So this is my new reminder. And then yesterday I had that finished up by about 5:30 in the afternoon. It's a good thing I went home. I work at home because the bathroom was my best friend. But amazingly enough, I felt like rejuvenated, right? Water, amazing. Who knew, right? That water could be so powerful. And yes, so there's that. I forgot my coffee, but I've got my water. So whatever you have to drink, sit back and let's chat because we have a lot going on, not only in the astrology, but did you take a look at the night sky last night? I know for us in the northern tier of states, it doesn't get dark until 10 o'clock. So it's hard. You know, I go out usually just before I'm going to bed so that I could take a look at what's going on in the sky because most of the time, you know, it's still bright enough I can't see it. So I was it was about 10 after 10 last night, and I walked outside and I went, whoa, what is that? And I knew it couldn't be Venus because Venus is in the morning star now, so I knew it had to be Jupiter. But literally, folks, Jupiter is as bright as Venus ever is in the night sky. And that's because Jupiter is at his closest approach to our planet at the moment. So he looks very bright and very sparkly and just like a jewel. And if you are if it's dark enough in your neighborhood, and you look just to the left and a little below Jupiter, you'll see Saturn. Saturn is like a golden light, but he pales in comparison to Jupiter's beautiful brightness right now, but certainly is a joy to see. And wouldn't you know it, just before I went on air, like I swear, just a second or two before I went on air, I saw that there is something else that we might be able to see in the sky tonight, depending on if you're in a dark enough place. And that is just below to the southeast of Jupiter will be a very dim star, but that isn't a star at all. It'll be the planet Pluto, right? Also Pluto coming in close enough for us to be able to see with the naked eye. Now, of course, if you have a telescope or a long lens, telephoto sort of camera lens, you'll be able to see it even better. But I mean, how spectacular, right? And then on top of that, a comet to boot. I saw some beautiful pictures from, I think it was Humboldt County in California. I think it's close to the ocean, so the view is a little clearer. And oh Lord, what a beautiful sight. I know I'm going to have to go out there and see it. It's due to be at its brightest and its closest on July 22nd. So that's next week, right after the new moon. So it'll be dark in the sky and you should be able to see Comet Neowise. Now, I yesterday got an article sent to me. One of my followers in YouTube, Joanne Hutt, I think it is. And thank you, Joanne, for sending this to me. Sent me a link to a YouTube video that frankly, the YouTube video, I couldn't follow. It was just too much. But in the description, there was a link to the article about Comet Neowise. And I didn't get to finish reading that article, but I will post it later for you all if you want to read it. I'll be posting it on Facebook. So on my Living Astrology Facebook page. So you could go look at that and see what some astrologers are saying about what Comet Neowise means. Now, it's interesting, right? Neo, new, wise, wisdom, neo, wise, new wisdom. I can't help but believe that it's a portent of some new found wisdom here on the planet, taking us out of this mess of old beliefs and old patterns that we've currently gotten ourselves enmeshed in. And so I look forward to reading that article and hearing more about that. And on top of that, we have a lot astrologically to look at this morning. So let's dig in to see what it is that the month of April, the month of July, and the month of January 2021 have in common. We'll get to that in just a minute. And then we'll also take a look at where the moon is today and we'll also take a look at the Pleiadian Earth energy. So taking a quick peek over here at comments, let's see, gosh, lots of you this morning. Good morning, Elisa. Good morning, Amy. Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, good morning. And Amy says, OMG, love that water bottle. Isn't it awesome? I got one for me. I got one for my daughter. No, she bought her own, but I got one for my husband. And so yesterday it was this sort of race to see who got to the end of 128, yes, fluid ounces first. Ugh. But I love that bottle. And then I actually drank more than that because when I went out on my walk, I take another bottle with me and drank some out of that. So, and I didn't pour it from this one to the other one. It was already full itself. So drinking water, really good for us, especially right now with the world being so weird and with so much, heat. Right? The heat is on. So let's bring some water cooling it all for us. Monique Alexander, good morning, sweetie. And Destiny, good morning. Debbie says Venus is really bright. Venus is bright in the morning sky. She's at her brightest as well. So if you're up early enough, I mean, geez, the sun rises here at like 4:30 in the morning. So really you'd have to get up at 3:30 to be able to see Venus rising before the sun, but it is, I probably could see it even just at dawn, but she's out in the eastern sky. Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto will be sort of in the southeastern sky. So if that might help you get oriented. Kimberly, good morning. And it is totally Jupiter. Jennifer Peachy, good morning. Kimberly says, apparently you can see Pluto too. Yes. Now, normally I would say no. Pluto's so far out there, millions of miles away from us. Not particularly bright because, you know, he's so far away from the sun, but at the moment, apparently close enough and in the sun, configured with the sun in an opposition, right? Today's the sun, Jupiter, Pluto opposition. Well, yesterday was Jupiter, today's Pluto. And that may be, you know, giving more light to him for us to be able to see. So I, for one, am going to be out there tonight to look and see if I can find a dim star. If nothing else, I have my Star 3D app. And I should be able to take a picture of that and show that to you guys tomorrow morning. So J-Lo, good morning to you. Destiny says, yes, Kim, my husband sent me some pictures of the planets the other morning when he was on his way to work. Oh gosh, they're so beautiful, aren't they? And Valerie Jocelyn, good morning. Thanks for the reminder to drink more water. You're very welcome, Valerie. And Kamal, good morning. It's great to see you with us this morning. Water. And you know, the sun is moving through Cancer right now, a water sign. And I can't help but believe, and this might be just my own, you know, bias to water. I have a lot of water in my astrology chart. My rising sign is water. That water facilitates increased intuition. And when we are dehydrated or semi-dehydrated, as we often are, from, you know, the things we eat or other things that we drink or just in general from, you know, life in general, the stresses of our days, that we lose that connection. So I'm kind of doing this experiment to see how drinking more water increases intuitive awareness because it's keeping that circulation going. And water holds memory. Water attracts, right? It has those oxygen molecules that have the positive charge on the end. So it attracts the opposite, which is bringing in maybe cosmic energies that are of a more negative charge. Negative, not in a value sort of way, but just the energies that are positive and negative. So that's my experiment. Okay, let's talk about the astrology of the day today. And it's an interesting one. And I think I need to show you the chart in order to really convey how interesting it really is. And I've watched this over the last couple of days building up. And let me make sure I've got the chart opened up, and then I will share my screen with all of you. And I think what you'll see, what jumps out at you all as you look at this, right, is that this red triangle over and over, repeat, wash, rinse, and repeat, where we have a lot of focus pointed up here at Aries, and we have the sun over here at 23 degrees of Cancer, opposing 23 degrees Capricorn today, Pluto, and Aries is at 24 degrees. So what you're looking at here, folks, is what we call a T-square. And a T-square is a configuration made up of aspects that are squares. So we have an opposition between the Sun and Pluto, and that the Sun then is squaring Eris. And then we also have Pluto squaring Eris. Now, these two have been in square for a while. Now the Sun is adding his formidable energy to this grouping and creating a lot of tension, a lot of need for us to change our ways, to adhere to some new type of energy. Now, the reason I asked you what April, July, and January 2021 have in common is that during the degrees that these planets are at were effective in April. That's when there was the Pluto and Jupiter-Saturn conjunction, or Pluto and Jupiter conjunction at 22 of Capricorn. Now we have this July squaring and opposition with the Sun. And in January of 2021, what we have is a new moon at 23 degrees of Capricorn. Exactly. Now I see that and I can't believe for even one moment that is a coincidence, right? To me, this is more like a synchronicity, that there's something calling us to look at what was the same in April in your life, what is the same, and even in the world, what was going on in April, what is going on in July, and now what will we be looking at in January of 2021. And of course, we can make all kinds of correlations, you know, to the things that are going on in the outer world, which we talk about all the time, the coronavirus and how it was at reaching a peak then. Does that mean now it's reaching a peak now in July? And is there another peak coming in January? Or are we finally looking at perhaps letting go of that virus as a means of change on the planet? So I looked up, first of all, before I tell you what I looked up, let's go back to this T-square, because the T-square is always pointing at something, right? Here's the point. And the point is at Eris, and Eris is the goddess of discord. So in a chart, she is showing us where things need to be shaken up, stirred, turned upside down. It's like playing Yahtzee, you know, six dice and they're all clinking around and you throw it out. And then by chance you get a Yahtzee, or by chance you get a run or something else. And so there's a bit of stirring up things here, and she's creating pathways that open us to new ways of being. She's showing us the idiocy of our times. That's what I started thinking about. You know, what are we looking at with Eris? What are she showing us? You know, she's showing us where, for all of our technological advancements and all of our thinking, how mature we are as human beings on this planet, how much, you know, better we are than other life forms, at least on this planet. There's still this little teeny weeny virus that's created such chaos. There's this air of discord in everything, you know, between parties, political parties, between races, and between, you know, all things that you would think a mature society would have been able to move through at this point in time, or at least be able to handle as things pop up. But instead, it's like there's this maelstrom of energy that just keeps stirring and stirring and stirring. And, you know, I think at some point in time, we're going to have to step back and we're going to have to go, what on earth are we doing, right? Where's the sanity? Where does the crazy end? So the T-square here may point us in a direction of where it's really crazy. Now, there's an opposite point in any T-square. This is why this is so unbalanced, because it's pointing this direction. But what do we have down here? Well, literally, we have nothing, right? There's nothing at this end to balance out the energy of 24, 23 degrees of these signs. So we have to go to 23, 24 of Libra. And we don't see anything transiting through here, but Libra does have the balance point for us. And isn't it interesting? It is the sign of balance, of harmony, of cooperation, the three C's: collaboration, cooperation, and co-creation. And that is where we need to focus our energy in order to move from discord. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't control the powers that be or the people out there in the world, but we can control our own selves, our own responses to all of this. So this empty spot here is where we need to focus to bring the balance. So we have the opposition of the sun and Pluto. We'll talk about what that means. We'll talk about what these two squares mean. But right now, I just want you to understand that you do have it in you to kind of ease this craziness that's going on by taking appropriate steps on your, in your own life to calm this down. So then I decided I was going to look up in my astrological mandala. So this book that is by Dane Rudyard, well used, right? This is a very interesting book. And he goes through each degree of the zodiac and has a sort of description of what that degree means. So I started looking up the degrees and it was fascinating, right? So I'm going to tell you, first of all, 23 degrees Cancer, and this is where the sun is, right? Is about interdependence. And we've been talking about this, right? That square to Aries, which is a sign bringing us to interdependence, discovering how we are interconnected. So interdependent, interconnected are all of these kinds of energies. Now the sun is putting a lot of focus in. And then it is opposing Pluto. Now Pluto's at 23 degrees of Capricorn today. And the symbolic meaning there is surrender to higher laws. So the laws of man are not the higher laws. There's the laws of man, and then there are the laws of the universe. And Pluto, sitting there in the underworld, is telling us to give it up, right? Give up trying to be the power on the planet. Surrender to that higher power or to higher ways of being, to the higher laws, the universal laws. And then just for the fun of it, I looked at Eris, and she's sitting at 24 degrees. So she's a degree away, you know, but still that's bullet burn, right? That's so close. And what is she sitting at? A degree that represents revelation of new approaches. So here we have the possibility for new, right? Out of the discord, you know, throwing in the hat and saying the old isn't working. So let's try something new, something exciting. And so we're surrendering on one hand, we have new approaches on the other, and with the sun, we have this interdependence. So then I looked at Libra just for fun, right? Just because it was an incomplete picture until I really looked at where the balancing point is. And the balancing point degree is about mutation, new responses to what life is showing us, what life is providing us. So in your personal life, if you have been struggling with something, and we all have, you know, in some place, some way in our lives, we're struggling with something. This is a very clear call to change up the dynamic, right? To let go because you're insane, right? You're psychotic. Doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting a new result is the very definition of insanity. So here we have to create new responses to life through mutation. Now, mutation in and of itself is happening with or without your knowledge, right? That is a sure fact, right? Our cells are always in a state of mutation. Life is always changing. Mutation, it's just another word for change. It's another word for evolution, perhaps. It's another word for spiraling into higher consciousness, for ascension, right? We could do another word. So there are all kinds of words here that we could apply, but the meaning of it all is about change and what is it that you're willing to change. All right, so now let's look at Sun opposing Pluto and what it might mean in your chart. So where you have to look in your chart is across the Cancer Capricorn axis. And remember, that is an axis that puts your family and home life versus your public life or your professional life. So who you are out in the world and who are you at home? What forms your foundation in Cancer allows you to go out and claim your authorship, your authority out in the world. So, excuse me. So what is a great question for all of you at this point in time is what is left unresolved within you, right, with the sun opposing Pluto. The sun has a lot of light and it can really shine brightly into the underworld, right, the inner world. So what is left unresolved within you and all of that might be dredged up for examination today. Actually, I think, I had an experience on Saturday, and as I was talking to other people, they had them at various, you know, points over the weekend as well as yesterday and even on Monday. Yesterday, I was even triggered by a few things. And so it begs the question then, what's being dredged up from, you know, circumstances, from the mind? Remember yesterday we looked at the ajna and the head, and they're both defined for all of us. And what does that mean? Well, it means we're in our mind. So here we have things being dredged up from the mind for examination. And today is the day to do what? Well, there's a revelation of new approaches, perhaps, of how to solve that. Maybe you have to respond differently in life to what has been happening. Maybe you just have to surrender it all. Surrender, a great other one. And that is what is up today with the sun opposing Pluto. There's also a focus on, for some of you, there's going to be a focus on what are you holding on to that can be released. Is it a job? Is it a person, a relationship? Is it an old belief, an emotion, an anger, an upset? What is it that you've been holding on to that you want to let go of, right? Letting go. And are you giving away your personal power? Another way this might show up. And we give our personal power away to a lot of different things, to our emotions, right? Our letting our emotions run away with us, to other people in our lives, right? Every time that we do not stand up for ourselves, then we're giving our power away. And that may be another key for all of you today. Disruption and discord, of course, with Eris involved. And again, an opportunity for us to look back. What were you grappling with in April that you might be grappling with now? That is also going to provide perhaps a new beginning in January of 2021. And I know that's like 5-6 months out, but I don't want you to focus on what that new moon might bring. I want you to focus now on what is it that, what worries or fears are being triggered within you right now, right? What are you worried about? What are you afraid of? Because those are going to hold little clues to what it is that you need to release, surrender, or try a new approach to. Everywhere I look, I see this battle of duality, right? So we're in a way personally battling our own personal demons, right? What's going on within you. But we also see it modeled to us in the outer world, right? The light versus the dark. And just oppositions, right? So here in this opportunity with the sun in opposition to Pluto, we get this opportunity to listen deeply within. Listen to the whispers of your intuition or the screams, either way. Your intuition could be screaming at you. Your intuition could be whispering. But whatever it is, it has something powerful to say, and it's coming up from your soul. And it begs you to listen. And that's interesting because today is 11 listening in the Pleiadian Earth energy. So we have two big themes here of releasing and of overcoming, you know, worry and fear, and listening to our inner soul, to our inner voice. And in doing so, we have the opportunity then to change with this opposition how things are going to go in our lives. I love that, right? I just love that so much. All right, so I'm going to take a look over here at what people are saying. Is there questions going on? Jules DeLune, good morning. Great to see you. And Amanda J, good morning. Patricia Woods found us again. Yay, Allison, good morning. Destiny says, I need this book. This book, Dane Rudyard, The Astrological Mandala. I'm going to go back to Zoom. Here we go. An astrological mandala, the cycle of transformations, and its 360 symbolic phases. It might be hard to find. This one is, you know, certainly not brand new. And when I received this book, it was not new. I think I got it off at a used bookstore, maybe? Not sure. do an Amazon search, maybe you can find it. But it's invaluable, right? It's invaluable. Dane Rudjar lived in a different time period, right? His way of speaking is completely different than our day-to-day speaking now. So it gives us insight into maybe, you know, the 30s to 40s and 50s, how people were thinking about astrology. And I find it fascinating, but definitely worth looking for. Amanda Fabella, nice to see you. I love the way of looking at Cancer Capricorn axis. A couple of weeks ago, in fact, I might put that up for posting again today. We did a video, I did a morning show on the axes, right? And because everything in astrology has its opposite, just like human design, same thing, right? We could say something is or isn't, you know, expresses this way or that way. So we looked at all of the axes in the astrology chart and to discover what is it that, you know, that whole axis represents. So if I think about that, I'll put that up today. J-Lo, funny, my niece is a Virgo. She came here to ask my advice on what she needs to let go. Ooh, that's interesting. Another earth sign asking an earth sign what to let go of. And she's the mutable one. She's the mutable one. So I want you to pay attention, J-Lo, to what you tell her that she needs to let go of. If you've had that conversation already, tap in, because likely what you're telling her is also something you need to look at for you, just because that's the way the world works, right? Valerie Jocelyn, I experienced similar issue on Monday. I found it affirmed my intention, which I was questioning. Ooh, I like that. Taylor, very interesting themes today. Good morning to you, sweetie. Apparently that book is very hard to find. It is. It is very hard to find. And likely you would find it in a used bookstore maybe, or I'm not even sure that the publisher's publishing it anymore. So, but it's worth looking for. But you almost have to understand the context first. And there's a lot of really good information in here to read before you start looking at the degrees. So it's like the gene keys, right? You read the first, you know, 20 or so pages because that sets the scene, but the rest of it you go to as needed, right? As needed for contemplation of the degrees and so forth. J-Lo, ha! I told myself, mind your own now. So yes, that will show me a little off kilter to others. Susan Cross, good morning. $272.72 on Amazon. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So it's a good book, but I'm not sure I would spend that kind of money on it. Perhaps later there will be opportunities to buy it for less. You might go on Dane Rudjar's website if there is one, see if it's available there. Ay, ay, ay. So, but I managed to get mine. I think I bought this for like $3. I hate to say that against the price that it's at now, but that's, if you seek and you want it, it will come to you, right? If it's meant to be. All right. So questions. Go ahead and put them in the chat and I'll come back to that in a minute. Let's talk about where the moon is today. It is in the sign of Taurus. Again, we are dealing with the five senses and we're dealing with comfort and gratitude and forgiveness and appreciation of life in general, of the physical being. And the moon will turn void at 8:21 p.m. my time. So 11:21 for those of you on the East Coast, and will only be in about a 2-hour void that will happen for most of us toward the evening. And 10:19 p.m. West Coast time, we will have the moon moving into Gemini, and that'll be 1:19 a.m. for those of you on the East Coast, and further later tomorrow morning for those of you in Europe. So we have a change of signs. We're moving into Gemini energy. I think I'll wait till tomorrow to talk more about what Gemini represents, but I think we're all pretty familiar with it at this point in time, as we had Venus there for a long time. The sun just went through that sign. And it means we have communication on the horizon, right? Socializing and all of that kind of information. Now today, the moon is quite active in affecting other planets, but not one of them is negative. We have sextiles to Neptune and to the sun, and we have trines to the Jupiter-Pluto-Saturn conjunction going on over there in Capricorn. So while the sun, the other luminary that we talk about frequently that is in opposition to the planets in Capricorn, we have the moon sort of smoothing the way, right? She's in a positive flow of this energy of transformation, of surrender, of looking at what's coming up from the deep. What do I need to let go of? So there's some help out there for us in ways that we don't always see. So don't be afraid, right? Because one of the things I said was our worries and fears may be triggered. And that, you know, will take you into more and more of that insanity, right? That same way of trying to solve problems that isn't going to work. So we want to allow the smooth energy moving between the moon and the sun, between the moon and Neptune, our spiritual self, and the Jupiter, Pluto, Saturn, which is the timing for regeneration, right? The timing for regeneration is now. And that is what we have available to us today in very practical, pragmatic, down-to-earth ways. But as we know, Taurus is a fixed sign, and it's that fixity that can sometimes turn into rigidness and that stubborn streak, right? The stubbornness of the bull and the need to relinquish some of that control, Mars at the gate of control, and to relinquish some of that stoic, steady, I'm not moving from this position kind of energy. So today we have that opportunity to do that, to go with the flow and to be able to see things from a completely different perspective. And I hope you all will take that opportunity. If you come up against something in your day-to-day living, try to see it with new eyes. Try to see it from a different place, a different point of view, and see what you might achieve in doing that, in taking the moment to stop when you see yourself in that old pattern. Stop and ask, what can I do to release this? What can I do differently? How can I approach this in a new way? Okay, now the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. Today we are at 11, listening. Listening in the Mayan calendar was Akbal, and it's the representation of the dark or the night. Or the inner world, right? How do you picture the inner world? Well, often we picture that with darkness, in that it's something that it's hardly knowable, right? It's very difficult for us to see. In the outer world, we have all this light, but the inner world is sort of dim, not clear. And so here what we have is the key to that inner dynamic, which is listening, right? And the 11 being the number of illumination. So illumination, so we have the light and we have listening. We have the light and the dark today. How extraordinary. Sun, light, Pluto, dark, right? So we have this coherence again going on between our Pleiadian Earth energy and our astrological energies. And I'm sure if I look closely, I would find something in human design today that would also mimic that same coherence to us. And that's the beauty of doing what we're doing every day, is we start to see as we pull from all these different disciplines and these different, you know, divine traditions, that we see the wisdom in it and the coherence in it. It is definitely a tool for us in today's day, in today's world. So 11, let's look deeper at illumination. It brings a new awareness for us to see as reality. So we have what we believe is real, that, you know, things are solid, that this pen is, you know, solid. But from an atomic point of view, this is filled with space, right? It appears solid to us. So we have these definite quantum physic type properties that we can tune into here, that if we choose to, we can see things with different eyes, with a different perspective. The light illumination allows us to see reality, to see truth with that new vision, right? What is the higher truth going on here? Maybe even get to see with new eyes, but also with our hearts. And that changes the dynamic tremendously when we're looking at things with our heart instead of just what we think of seeing with our eyes. You know, the eyes are directly connected to the brain and the visual cortex. So the eyes are really just like, the eyes see so much more than what we allow our brain to translate to us. And, you know, animals, for example, when you watch an animal, you know that that animal's, you know, have you ever seen a cat just sit and stare at the wall, or your dog, and you're like, what are you doing? They're into something. They're seeing something more than what we allow ourselves to see. I'm sure that if we saw what they saw, we might freak out a bit because our mind would try to then define and categorize what it is that we're seeing. And it might be, you know, other dimensions. It might be ghosts. It might be God knows what, right? So our minds don't want to necessarily look at the real truth, but our eyes are geared toward being able to see that real truth. It's that connection, the crossover with the optic nerve to the brain that determines what it is we're going to see. So if we choose to, we can see with different eyes. If we choose to, we can move into the heart center and see things from a different perspective there as well. This is energy today. Illumination allows you to free yourself from whatever it is that no longer serves you, right? The old thoughts, the old lack of confidence, the old lack of self-worth, all of that does not serve you. The old sabotaging mechanisms that you have in your life, they no longer serve you, and it's time to let them go. And finding new ways to manifest light and love into our crazy world, right? That's your job as a person. Personally, we have the ability to manifest new light and love into the planet. And literally, that is one of the things, one of the few things that we actually have the power to do, right? To change. We also have the power to change the way that we see things, right? How we interact with them, how we emote, how do we react to things. Instead of reaction, we can choose to respond. So there's a lot of power within us, and it can be manifested as light and love in the world as opposed to the more crazy side of things. Not that we're not all doing our very best, right? And you know, I too fail miserably at times in this trying to, you know, see things from a different perspective or elevate my thinking, ascending to this next level or to a different dimension and all of that. And I'm not even sure that that's something I believe truly that we're all on this pathway. Some of us lagging behind, some of us right there in the thick of it all, and some people that are ahead of the game, ahead of the curve, but we're all heading in the same direction. I just want to do it consciously. And that's why I bring these things up to you, because I'm hoping that you too will consciously connect to the possibility that there's so much more here than what meets the literal eye, right? That there's so much more. All right, let's transition over to listening energy. Now, a need to listen deeply. That is primarily what happens on a day like today, that secrets can be revealed. What did I say earlier here, right? There are this secrets thing, this thing that we're not seeing on the surface that can come up today for us to see and to work with. And I'm looking down here at my page because I thought I wrote that here. Listen to the whispers from your soul that they may indeed hold some secret information that you need, that's been hidden from you or that you hid from yourself that could be revealed today. So we're listening deeply for insights that lead us to new understandings, to new ways of being. This is a day to slow down and reconnect to the universe. Remember, Akbal, or listening energy, is the dark. It is that place of stillness. Mercury, still at the gate of stillness in your human design. I knew I'd be able to connect it to something. So it calls us to that stillness where we can act from an increased or a higher sense of values or from our higher integrity. So it's calling us again, right? Those same three Sun, Pluto, Eris that were revealing to us new approaches and then begging for us to respond differently. That is showing up in our day, our spiritual evolutionary energy for the day as well. So we're being called to bring more spiritual concepts into form, right? To really bring those perspectives. If we elevated ourselves and looked in at the planet through love, what would we see differently? How would we see things differently? How would you see your own life, your own struggles, your own fears, your own worries differently if you stepped back and looked in with love? Would you have compassion and understanding for yourself, right? For your experiences? Would you see the rightness in how everything has happened up to this point in perfect harmony to bring you to an evolutionary point or shift in your life? So lots of really good, juicy stuff here for us today, but it can also be disruptive in a way, because it's bringing us new realizations. You know, what happens when you suddenly realize that you're the only one standing between you and the light, and you and prosperity, or you and living the life of your dreams, right? It's kind of a rude awakening. And so today's energy gives you the opportunity to bring that into focus. Patricia Wood, Sell Alibri's books might have it. eBay too. So good that everybody's looking for that book. That's a good thing. Amy, thank you so much. Don't forget to thumbs up the video for me and to subscribe if you haven't already done that. And share the video with your friends, with your family, or with people that you think might find this interesting. Let's see. J-Lo, today I might just want to be like my ascending Gemini or Libra moon. Indeed, that might be a good thing. J-Lo, I sit there and say, stop messing with Boy or Bella, which is my cat's name. My kids ask, what are you talking about? But I do see their fur twitching as something is messing with them. I see it all the time too. Like Sadie will just stop and she'll be staring at something. And okay, so I do that too. Sometimes I'm just stopped and I'm staring off into space, not necessarily at anything. But when the cat is doing, when your dog or your cat, you know, they go up to something and they sit and then they stare, that's a completely different story, right? Then you know, something is going on here. So J-Lo, keep watching. She says, I hear fairies mess with the pets, maybe. J-Lo, does the 23rd and 24th degree affect any other planetary aspect we have? Yes. So if you have your own personal astrology chart, and I think most of you do, then what you need to do is go look at where 23 and 24 degrees are in, I'm going to say 23 to 25, because that's that's all still within orb. Look and see what's there, what planets and in what signs they're in. And then what does that mean for you in terms of the aspect it's making to either the sun, to Pluto, or to Eris? Because trust me when I say this is something that's important. In your own chart, I can't really, because it's all the same. It's everything I just told you. I was thinking I would show you the chart. J-Lo, or somebody, would you mind me pulling up your chart, your personal chart, so we could look at a live person's chart, not my usual day-to-day chart, to see if you notice anything of the 23 to 25 degrees. So let me know, is it okay to pull your chart up? I'm going to go pull it up just in case you say yes. And then I think we've looked at yours before, J-Lo, too. So I'm not sure. Lopez. So, and then if you say yes, I'll pull it up and show it to everybody. And we can sort of look at what I'm talking about in terms of other signs. And Jacqueline, there we go. So one moment here while I pull up her chart. Let's just look at the natal chart. And there we go. Okay. So J-Lo, did you say I could look at your chart? Yep, I got it. All right. So let's share my screen now. And if we have time, we'll look at a couple of charts. Maybe I see other people saying, look at mine, look at mine. Okay, so J-Lo, if we look at your chart, I'm going to pull this lower screen up and look at it because it's easier sometimes, and I'll show you how to use this. I'm going to zoom it up and go down here. Maybe I'll zoom it some more. Hell, when you've had great vision all your life and suddenly your near vision isn't as good. So if we look down this line of numbers, in her chart. We will see what planets are between 23 and 25 degrees in her chart natally, because all I've pulled up here is the natal chart. Well, I see her part of fortune is at 25 degrees Scorpio. Her Chiron is at 24 degrees Aries. And we have a 21 degrees prenatal solar eclipse. I'm not going to worry too much about that one. That's too far away. The galactic center for everyone is right around 26 degrees of Sagittarius. It may be pulling in some information. So let's look at your natal Chiron right up here, your natal Chiron in Aries. And essentially then what we're seeing is by transit, let me see if I can add the transits here. Go back for one moment here. What we're seeing then is that likely Eris is conjunct your natal Chiron. And let's do that. Go back here. Come on. Ah. Take that one out. Okay. So here, now you guys should be seeing this chart. So here we have her Chiron and here we have Eris. So the goddess of discord on top of your natal Chiron, and natal Chiron here in Aries, you know, that means at some point here, you are going to have to look at where you have either become too dependent or too independent. I have to talk to my daughter about this all the time. She has an Aries rising and she's so independent, and then she just wears herself down because she doesn't allow anybody else to help her. So, I mean, she just had this horrible kidney infection, and I went to the grocery store, called her and said, "Hey, while I'm out, is there anything you need?" And she, you know, said, "Oh," it was like, you could just, you know, feel her letting go because she knew she had to get some stuff at the store. She was actually going to go, even though she was in pain and so ill. So I want you to look at this in your own life, because Eris here is showing you the possible ways in which that you are either too dependent, which I find hard to believe for you, J-Lo, but where are you so independent that you don't allow the room for other people to help you, for other wisdom to come in and to help you move through things. So for you, it may feel like the floor is getting ever further away from your feet, and that you might be feeling a little bit like you're in a free fall. But I sort of want you to stick with that, right? Hold with that feeling, because it is changing your life, right? It's like, you know, being in that maelstrom and just moving, just allowing yourself to surrender to the forces of change here in your life, because you, my friend, have a lot going on in Aries anyway, and there's a lot going on in Aries by transit. So the little conflicts and confrontations and things that you're hearing about all have direct meaning to you in this particular time for transformation, right? For mutation. And let's see. So that's Chiron. What else did I say was at, what was the other one? Your part of fortune. So interestingly enough, when over the weekend, I was looking at a book, and I cannot remember who wrote this now. It was on my Kindle, about the part of fortune. And I've always worked with the part of fortune because I sort of like the idea of the part of fortune, which is really sort of the indicator of where in your life you can find the most joy, the most sort of fortune, right? Where's the fortune in your life when you're working with your sun, your moon, and your ascendant, when they're all firing in this positive way? Where do you find the most joy and the most excitement in your life? And not necessarily excitement, but joy and the feeling of this is mine, right? This is me. And I tested this over the weekend with a few people. So some of you, I just reached out and just started giving you this information about your part of fortune, which I do randomly sometimes, because I wanted to get your feedback. And the feedback for the people I sent this out to was that, wow, just wow, right? It really did signify something important for them. So J-Lo, that is being triggered for you right now. And your part of fortune is in Scorpio. And it's very close to your own natal north node, but even though that's in Sagittarius. And the part of joy here or fortune for you is in the sixth house of doing work that you are passionate about, for surrounding yourself or being in an environment that is supportive of transformation, of elevation. So you really are working a transformative sort of life here. And all of that is being triggered right now for you, right? That's the key here. All of it is being triggered. All right, I'm going to stop sharing my screen for a moment. And let's go back over here, see comments. Yep, you're Chiron and you're part of fortune. And Amy, let's look at your chart. And let's see, do I have time? I have time. I have a busy day, so I have to, this will be Amy. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I just lost your last name. Is it Moore? Ba-da, ba-da. Oh, hey, I can find it this way. Yes, I do have the right one. So just a minute while I transition this chart over to Amy's, and then Amy will take a look and I'll share my screen. And I have 10 minutes, okay. So Amy, let's look down here. I'm not even going to bother looking at the chart yet. I just want to look here and see what's playing. So the sun for you is at 22 degrees. So it's a little outside of it, but not that far. And I see you also have part of fortune at 22 Scorpio. So you and J-Lo have something in common there. And you're looking pretty clear in this. What's at 24? Salacia. I don't know much about her yet, so I couldn't even intelligently speak to that. But in your chart in particular, since we don't have anything to connect it to, let's just look and see where Saturn or where Pluto and the sun are in opposition. So for you, it's across your 11th house and your fifth house. I find that so fascinating because remember yesterday, our theme for the day was about adventure. And I heard from a couple of people commenting under the video yesterday about adventure. Like I went on my own adventure and I made sure I walked in a different direction that I walked where, and it was amazing what I saw when I ventured in a different direction than what I normally go. And so I posted up those pictures just to sort of say, look, on an adventure, I saw Mount Baker. I don't normally get to see her from this position that I'm on in this island. I saw the water and I saw just different sights, different people on my path, etc. So then Amy, I saw a post that you put up about your adventure yesterday in finding a new apartment and taking the chances that, you know, you're going to find your own way here. And look at where your Cancer Sun and your Capricorn Pluto are transiting through the 11th and the 5th house. The 11th house is shining a light on your hopes and your dreams and your vision for yourself, your aspirations, your goals, and who do you want to be in the world? And then Pluto over here giving you the chutzpah, if you will, to do it, right? To take on the adventure. This is a house, the fifth house is joy and play, pleasure, but it's also a house of taking calculated risks, of being risky enough, not like, you know, kill yourself kind of risks, but a risk jumping out there and having a little bit of faith and surrendering to the call of adventure, if you will. And that's exactly what was going on. And I think that this shows it's probably going to be a very transformational experience for you in your life. So good for you for doing that. Now watch for fear and worry to start creeping in. And how are you going to work with that, right? This is the other thing, right? Your hopes and your dreams are related to your expectations, to your intentions. So you want to hold the expectation lightly, but you want to keep affirming that this was the best decision you've ever made, that this is going to, you will be able to do this with ease and grace, and however you word that for yourself, that indeed validating this is the right choice and the right move for you to make. I think that's kind of fun. Okay, let me go back. I thought I saw somebody else that wanted me to look at theirs. Amy, my port of fortune at 29, Scorpio, big lessons in that area. Allison, Janet, what does the last two lines in the table of natal planets mean, i.e. AC, MC? So AC is your ascendant, MC is your midheaven. So the angles, right, the important angles. The AC is the rising sign, so it's the viewpoint you had on entering into the planet. The midheaven would be at the 12 noon position, which is the key the gateway, the portal to your authority, to your outer world, expression of your authority in the world. So that's what those two numbers mean. And is there anything else going on here? Kimberly, Amy, J-Lo, I started my vision bag. I have clothes, packed passport, wallet, luggage tag, new towel. I say I am not sure when and where, but I know it's coming. Ooh, awesome. Val, Jocelyn, can you check mine? I will if, let me see if I have your chart there, Val. I don't have that. Let's see here. Oh, I do have you, Val. Okay, cool. Let's look at yours real quick. And let me share my screen again. All right, so Val, let's take a look here at, let's go down again and look at our numbers. So as we go down the line here, we have Uranus at 26 Leo. I think that's probably a little outside of the scope. We have your vertex at 23 Sag. The vertex is really, here's how I would look at the vertex. The vertex is a point, and it's sort of the point at which sometimes people come into your life that have an impact on you. So it could be a mentor or a spiritual teacher, or it could be someone that triggers something within you. Often they're pretty powerful connections to things. So if I'm looking here at the vertex in your chart, and if you're looking at your own chart, it's going to say V-E-R-T-E. And that is at 23 in your chart, Val, at 23 Sag. Now, Sagittarius is 30 degrees away from Pluto. So that is a semi-sextile. So it could be someone that, or some kind of knowledge or something that triggers a growth pattern for you. But then Sagittarius to Cancer that's 30, 60, 90, 120, 150 degrees. That's an inconjunct. And I did it purposely that way so I could show you how you guys can figure this out yourself. The other thing you could do is look at the line, and that is a line. So there's also a need for maybe some adjusting in your life in order to be able to see how you can transform, or how you can let go, how you can connect to what you might be giving away in terms of your personal power, or what is in what still lies within you that needs resolving. So I think you have some work to do here. It doesn't look like it would be a terrible thing for you. I wonder if it's affecting your health though. Right? The body is represented in the sixth house, and that's where Pluto is. The fifth house over here might say you need to, restore some joy and some fun in your life. And over here with the sun at 23 Cancer in your 12th house, are there hidden things that are coming up from the deep unconscious mind? And I would look to your dreams. I would look to the oddities of things that are going on, that things that you see. And, the moon, your natal moon is not far from here. So I think you are pretty adept at processing some of the things that are going on for you. So keep processing, keep letting things come up and be cleared. Look at all of this wonderful energy you have in this chart. Wow, wow, wow. Lots of trines and a kite and a grand water or grand air trine, and also a fire trine. That looks like a Star of David to me. Interesting chart, Val. Interesting chart. Okay, hopefully that helped everybody. I have to go for now, but what if the AC is at, so the AC being at a degree that would be called into this would be about changing your point of view. How do you see the world? And maybe your focus has gotten too narrow. Maybe it's gotten too wide. And so you've got to take a look at, what is my viewpoint? How is my personal viewpoint? How is my personality affecting what I'm seeing out there and how I'm trying to resolve issues? Could Eris retrograde mean a spiritual warrior for ourselves? Yes, it could. It could. But a spiritual warrior goddess, right? That sometimes does things in a way that is disruptive. Right? It turns upside down and then asks you to sort it all out, right? Sort it all out with a new viewpoint. But now I'm so lost, I can't see. So I have to surrender and step back and breathe and try something new. All right. All right, guys, it's a good day. Make it a good day. Take care of yourselves and you're very welcome. My very complex self, Val, says, indeed you are. We are all very complex. Yours just seems to have a lot going on. So it's probably been a great life and you're learning tons in this lifetime, I'd say, Val. All right, everybody. Well, that is it for me today. Take care. Again, give the video a thumbs up. Subscribe if that is something you feel like doing. I certainly would love it if you did. And please share the video with your friends or family. All right, take care.